He smoked a cigarette and leaned forward in his chair, elbows on his knees, as he spoke with intense feeling about the Barbaro. But my Aunt Lisa and my Uncle Ralph outvoted my mother, and that meant the end of the Curtis Piano Nobile. Then they had to divide all the soprammobili, the ornaments, the ancient boxes, glass bowls, ashtrays, all sorts of nice things. And believe me, when you're dealing with a piano nobile of 10,000 square feet, there's a hell of a lot of soprammobili. And they had to be divided fast, and nobody could call an antique dealer to get an estimate of the value. They put all the objects on the floor of the big dining room in three rows, and they made all the rows equal. Then, once they all agreed that the rows were more or less the same, they drew lots to see who got which row. And afterwards, when everybody's standing around and thinking, well, what did I get? I see my aunt go from her row to one of the other rows and take something from that row and put it in her own row. And then she puts something from her row into the other row. I said nothing. I stood there silently thinking, what an aunt I have. I tell you, if I had the power I should have had, this house would never have been sold. But I could not say anything. Non ho voce in capitolo. I had no voice in the matter. Because in this family, the Curtis family, the decisions have to be made by the leadership, not by the full membership. And the leadership is my mother and her husband, my Aunt Lisa, la Comtesse, and her husband, le Comte, and my Uncle Ralph and his fucking space astronauts and monkey face. But... He suddenly stood up, the better to make his point. There is a difference, he said, between me and all the other Curtises, the five generations of Curtises in Venice, starting with my great-great-grandfather Daniel Sargent Curtis. Do you know what it is? I am the only Venetian. In five generations, I am the only Curtis with any Venetian blood. My father was a genuine Venetian, born and raised in Venice. He walked to the window and looked down into the courtyard. Then he turned around and leaned against the windowsill. Do you know what it is to be a Venetian? Venetians are very tough. They are very quarrelsome. They argue seriously for honor, and the vocabulary of the ancient dialect is very earthy. Venetians have expressions that are so incredibly vulgar they cannot possibly be taken literally, because if you took them literally, you would have to kill the person who said it to you. But what Venetians have that is very good is that they don't get excited about whether you are a king, a queen, the president, or la comtesse, or le comte. Venetians are very democratic. They are all brothers. They all help each other. And it is the same for me, because I am Venetian. To me, the baker is my brother. But for my mother and my aunt and my uncle, the baker is the baker. I love this house as a Venetian, not just as a Curtis. It is part of me. If a piece of it breaks off, I save it. I have everything of this house. Look. He went over to a cabinet between two windows and started pulling drawers open one after another. They were filled with broken pieces of marble, Istrian stone, bricks, shards of old glass, and iron ornaments. He picked up a small, irregular piece of reddish stone. This stone broke off the step at the top of the stairs outside my door. He picked up a brick. This was dislodged from a chimney during a storm, and this piece of iron came from an old window grill. Everything about this house is sacred to me. One day, I swear to you, I will buy Palazzo Barbaro from Ivano Beggio. I will get back every piece of the palace that was sold to him. He's a very smart businessman. He got a great deal, and he knows it. He will probably demand twice what he paid for it. Fine, I will earn the money. I will find it. I will borrow it from rich friends. And why not? It would not be the first time someone named Daniel Curtis bought the Palazzo Barbaro.